To begin the part two of this talk, let's take a look at the business capability model, an example by Orbus Software. This is where we ended the last time. This kind of model can also be called a map, in this case, business capability map. It represents enterprises' different business units and strategic capabilities for each area. By this means, the business capability map aims at providing a common language for discussing what the business does and improvements needed to deliver against the strategy. The capability map aims at answering questions such as, what is the level of maturity of our capabilities? What is the strategic importance of our capabilities? What is the level of differentiation? What is the IT cost of capabilities? And which capabilities are currently at risk? This example won't go into the details of modeling, but for example, the capabilities can be then related to the strategic goals they support, so this is a business-related concern. And then again, from the IT perspective, we can examine which information systems are used to implement this capability. Naturally, having this information, we could now also examine if and how our different systems and applications support the business goals. So that was a quick and simple use case of enterprise architecture. Now let's get back to where we were, talking about enterprise architecture conceptions and key concepts. One notable limitation of the Tahmans original model is that it did not contain the processes for implementation, maintenance, nor governance of the enterprise architecture. Neither does it give recommendations for the architecture models and other deliverables to be created for certain architecture domains. Many of the current enterprise architecture methods are more process-oriented, or at least feature successive processes for the purposes of architecture modeling and maintenance. To ensure the commensurability and interoperability of the architecture products, it is also common that enterprise architecture methods give guidelines on how and in which forms the deliverables should be created. The Finnish government EA method, for example, builds on several standards, such as the Open Group's Archimate modeling language, about which there is more content available for you in Moodle, and the Object Management Group's Business Process Model and Notation, BPMN, standard for process modeling, both of which are widely supported by several modeling tools. More importantly, most of the modern enterprise architecture methods have added the time dimension to the enterprise architecture management. In their definition of enterprise architecture, Chief Information Officer Council of United States points out that enterprise architecture includes a baseline architecture, a target architecture, and a sequencing plan. The baseline architecture, sometimes also called as the current state architecture or the as-is architecture, is the set of artifacts that represent the organization as it is in its current form. As Parker in 2009 points out, baseline architecture can be used to reveal organizational and operative challenges, for example, a burdensome bureaucracy identified through documented business processes, strengths, for example, technological capabilities identified through technology inventories, deficiencies, for example, unmet business requirements identified through dissatisfied customers, and opportunities, for example, untapped capacity identified through performance results. The target state architecture, or the to-be architecture, on the other hand, is the set of artifacts which represent the state that an organization wants to reach in order to attain the goals set for the predetermined point of time in the future. The transition plan links the baseline architecture and the target architecture together, and by highlighting capability gaps, it can be translated into an actionable roadmap for the organizational transformation needs. Therefore, it can be seen that the modern enterprise architecture comes closer to strategic planning and management tools than mere IT management models. As Bernard and Grasso in 2009 note, enterprise architecture combines concerns related to both management and technology, and its goals have evolved for improving the use of IT to a holistic approach of managing all dimensions of an enterprise. The enterprise architecture can be used solely as an approach to IT governance, but it can also be applied as a more wide-range and strategically oriented method to serve a plethora of organizational interests. When the former approach is followed, the enterprise architecture deals with the business architecture artifacts, such as business services and processes, only to allow the development of IT solutions that are better aligned with those functional components. The latter, on the other hand, puts the emphasis on developing the organization as a whole. This requires more thorough planning on how the practices of enterprise architecting should be integrated with the existing operational and management structures, as well as the organizational culture. Many enterprise architects tend to stress different areas of enterprise architecture according to their professional background. IT-oriented architects typically focus on IT artifacts such as platforms, software components, software services and applications, as well as IT processes and strategy. Business-related artifacts like organizational goals, products and services, markets, business processes and performance indicators can be easily overlooked if the enterprise architecture is driven by the IT department and only utilize modeling techniques from the field of software engineering. However, as noted by Winter and Fisher, activities such as business continuity planning, change impact analysis, risk analysis, and compliance can be effectively supported only when the business-related artifacts are covered by enterprise architecture. Despite of whether the enterprise architecture is business-driven or IT-driven, its core value proposition is roughly the same. The enterprise architecture function can be seen as a middleman that transparently bridges together the business requirements and the IT capabilities by offering a consistent, systematic, and timely model of main components of an organization. According to Doucet and others, defining, describing, and deploying enterprise architecture should allow enterprises to understand their business operations and uncover deeply embedded business rules, elevate the role of information within the organization and treat it as a core asset, understand gaps between information needs of the business and information provided by the IT systems, create synergies between available and stable technologies and emerging technologies, and leverage technologies to discover and take advantage of new business opportunities. In the same vein, Winter and Fisher propose that enterprise architecture should support IT business alignment by providing support for consistent design and evolution of artifacts on different layers and or in different views. Support transformation, that is, for example, business development, process re-engineering, and information systems engineering, by providing impact analysis. And support maintenance, compliance, risk management, and other such functions by documenting not only structures and their direct dependencies, but also allowing the analysis of multi-step dependencies, for example, server, software service, enterprise service, process deliverable, and process revenue, finally. In order to achieve these goals, Winter and Fisher argue that enterprise architecture should rather be broad than deep. For the purposes of multi-step dependency analysis and holistic coverage of IT business alignment, it is necessary to cover a large number of artifact types and their dependencies at an aggregate level, rather than a small number of detailed artifact types. In order to attain the full capacity of enterprise architecting, it seems necessary to position the enterprise architecture function in an organization so that it will not be perceived solely as an IT project. In fact, Perhaps the enterprise architecture should be differentiated from the IT tradition as well as from the managerial paradigms. The enterprise architecture must not be seen solely as an application of systems theory and neither as a managerial strategy. Rather, according to Seppänen and others, it is seated between these two areas as a framework that can parse and classify the information assets and help in evaluating, confining, and guiding the strategic alignment. Therefore, we can position the enterprise architecture between the business and IT domains and their established practice for designing and developing the related activities. The enterprise architecture function should bring together the IT strategy, plans, and documentation and design artifacts with those of the business domain through the centralized repository. In order to do so, the enterprise architecture deliverables must offer a common language that can meaningfully relate to the languages used in both business and IT domains, and can provide relevant and integrated reports for those who are responsible for the organizational development and decision making. It is a requisite that the data about the enterprise architecture are stored in raw material-like form. Unlike static models and diagrams, such information resource can then be used to generate different reports that cover and integrate different architectural domains and are either as detailed or as abstract as the current task at hand necessitates. As discussed previously, the definitions of enterprise architecture and the ideas of what enterprise architecture should consist are varying. Each of the organizations adopting the practices of enterprise architecture may emphasize the components shown in this previous image differently. One organization may heavily emphasize the business strategy-driven approach or transformational activities, whereas another may use enterprise architecture solely as a tool for managing its information systems architecture. We can conclude that, in addition to information technology and information systems, enterprise architecture encompasses areas that fall under the disciplines of management science and organization science, as noted by Pulkkinen. However, the studies on enterprise architecture have been almost exclusively published on the field of information systems research. This follows the tradition of hundreds of scholarly articles that have studied strategic alignment by concerning the IT as their primary object of interest. Although the organizational aspects are equally important to enterprise architecture as those of information systems and technology, and professional practices of enterprise architecting have sometimes been quite justly criticized for emphasizing IT perspectives at the cost of other relevant requirements, it is the most conceivable to position the studies on enterprise architecture in relation to the concepts of strategic management, alignment, and organizational collaboration in addition to those more axiomatic to information systems research.